Folks, this is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, also broadcasting live on eSETI Stargate, and where we're actually in there live, and we have our guests pop in too as well, and a lot of past guests come in too as well to connect with everybody. It's like one big happy family. So if you go into the chat, you can connect with everybody. We've got some big stories here. You know, we have raging wildfires across America, and I don't know if you've seen the map, but it's insane. And, you know, lots of pics of what looked like lasers coming down, you know, right where these wildfires start. So, I don't know. It looks like paradise all over again. Antifa also pledged to burn down America, take it to the rural people. And you're not hearing anything about this. So why is the news blatantly ignored this? And why, despite dozens of arrests, no one is talking about this. It's amazing. It's like all these arrests of these arsonists and ties to Antifa, but nobody's talking about it. Matter of fact, they're totally saying it's not true. That's not happening. But I know the other airwaves are all talking about it. So obviously something's up. Also, two people are open carrying in Washington, monitoring the roads and highways. I've seen a lot of people going up and down the highways, even walking on bikes and things like that, and they're open carrying. So, you know, people are watching the streets. They're watching their neighborhoods. And, you know, I'm they're probably going to say, hey, you know, you're pushing this. And I'm not pushing it. I'm just reporting on it. It is what's going on. I know William Barr. He just assigned a special task force, and it seems like, you know, they, you know, Antifa must have been branded a terrorist organization to do that anyway. But they're going to be, you know, going right up the top, all the way to the top of this organization. And whoever's funding it, I would be aware, because your name's on a list, and you might be charged with aiding and abetting some very nasty things. So he said, you know, they probably will be arrested as well. Now, you know, this, my question is, will this include like politicians and prosecuting attorneys who cut them loose? You know, people who are violent offenders, you know, they just cut them loose, put them back on the streets. You know, they're charged three or four times and they're back on the streets again, creating more violence. So what's up with that? I mean, this is an orchestrated event. I don't care what anybody says. It's not just some homegrown thing. It's very organized. So, you know, we talk about the main funders, you know, like Soros and company, where they pledged to take down America. You know, this is treason with a capital T, you know, and that's all I have to say about that. Let's just not sugarcoat it. You know, this is going to be very interesting. You know, I don't see how you get away from it. You know, up here at the ranch, you know, we're going through what I call Farmageddon, you know, at eSETI. And we had a big windstorm before all the fires started breaking out. We had 70-mile-an-hour gusts, and they came from the east, which is really uncommon, you know, here. They usually come from the northwest. And so a lot of the trees weren't really set up for this. They're used to the winds coming from the other direction. And so, you know, we had trees, you know, that went down smashing homes, campers, cars, et cetera. You know, luckily, we just, you know, had a fence and a couple of picnic benches are taken out, and, you know, someone's looking after us because they missed the houses, thank God. But we had 100-year-old trees plus big trees come down. And today was the day we finally finished cleaning all this up. So we've got a lot of firewood, and unfortunately, Lemurian Hill is minus two very old, very large trees. You know, and talk about, you know, we also had a break. This is really bizarre. You know, when it rains, it pours. We had a break in our drain field too. So I was out there knee deep in crap, fixing a kink in the main line. So anyway, doesn't make any sense how it happened. Like there's a shift or something in this pipe just completely kinked, you know, we had to cut it out and put another piece in there. But anyway, everything's working great now. So, and also, too, you know, the collective psyche is really going nuts with all this stuff going on. It's getting a little crazy town out there. So I couldn't think what better guest to have on our show other than Dr. Alex Bloom. And he's a licensed clinical psychologist who specializes in both meditation and treating anxiety. He's been on his spiritual path for over 25 years. He's currently finishing an online course and subsequent book on bridging psychology and spirituality together in a unique and accessible way. The processes he describes will pave the way to many to have their own personal experiences with the divine, followed by simply yet cutting edge principles. Alex regularly discusses these concepts on his YouTube channel. Without any further ado, I want to bring Alex on the show. Alex, are you with us?
I am with you. Great to see you, James.
All right. Yeah, North Carolina was great. It was good hanging out there. That was quite an adventure.
Yeah. Had some awesome experiences at Camp Disclosure.
Yeah. I loved it. You know, they did show. They came in right in the middle of my talk and dropped right in behind us. You know, it was an outdoor talk and they dropped in right over the pond and I got all the witnesses on that. I got a lot of people that had observed that one. But I met a lot of really cool people there. I've never really spoken on the East Coast or anywhere near there in the East, but it was good to meet a bunch of people out there and harass all the COVID crap going on. Yeah. You know, I guess we were a little, we were like a bunch of rebels there. Basically, everybody's just going maskless and saying the hell with it. we all know what a joke that is. 90% of the tests, positive tests, were rendered false by the CDC.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah. And they actually are building the test kits in 2017 or something like that. And then they found out the test kits were tainted, you know, on pow pow fruit and a goat tested positive.
So,
I don't know. I can go on and on with this, but anyway, I don't want, we'll go on to something else. But, you know, this is just one big psyop after another, what it looks like. I think we really need to look at the big money behind all this to see where this all started. And it is rolling out just as planned, and people need to start paying attention to that.
Yeah. Well, and there's so many different like extensions of it, right? When you follow the money. So you've got kind of COVID, you've got these quote unquote peaceful protests, as the mayor of Portland likes to call them, yet he's moving because these peaceful protesters are trying to burn down his condo.
Yeah.
And so he's refusing federal assistance. And then these wildfires that are going on, and Antifa members are already being arrested for starting some of these fires and caught on video. So there's just a lot of different extensions of it all.
And, you know, I went on the Forest Service site and it said, these fires are not being started by Antifa, you know, like they actually put a big disclaimer out there, you know, and come on, guys, you know, like a lot of arrests have been going down, a lot of videos out there and on. And, you know, I have the perfect shirt for today. It says, "Dear Karma, I have a list of a few people you missed."
That's great.
You know, so I think that kind of nails it.
Well, I don't think they'll be missed for much longer. I think it's going to circle around soon.
I like what Buddha said, you know. He said, you know, your mischief is like fresh milk. It takes a little while to spoil, but, you know, it's going to catch up. Yep. But there's more to the story, but I'm giving you the short version. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, you know, what I'm finding out right now is, and we kind of left this off on the last show, about giving people tools on how to deal with this. Because I know the psychic turbulence is off the scale. Anybody who's objective is really getting hammered hard with these energies. And they're not knowing how to deal with them. And I've seen people just frantic.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the Muppet Show or something. They're going, you know, they're like running around. And I'm going, calm down. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, what's the worst case scenario? You die. So what? I've been there, done that. You know, it's
beings.
Yeah. But it's like, I don't know. I'll leave it up to you. I know you've got a lot of tools in your bag lately to help people to deal with some of the chaos and the loss. I mean, you know, you got to admit there is deep loss. I mean, people are losing everything, their homes, their, you know, some people are losing family members. Some people are losing animals, you know, it's just I know it's really rough, you know, but, you know, anyway, I'll have you take it away if you have some advice for what's actually unfolding right now.
Yeah. So why don't we start broad with some bigger ideas, and then we can move into like maybe more specific skills or what to do. So broadly speaking, this is probably one of the most frequent questions that I get of what do I do during this time of chaos? And that's both kind of when I'm at work, you know, and getting that question. That was a question I got with every single client today with the fires.
Yeah.
As well as kind of when I take the work hat off and just, you know, become either kind of more spiritual based or truther based or whatever words we want to put there. So I have three tips, and I mentioned this also kind of during my workshop, which was a lot of fun, by the way. So camp disclosure, there's a workshop, and I went on for 3.5 hours talking to people about the psychology of how to red pill. And so I created what I call the Karen scale. So there's five different layers of intensity levels with the Karens out there. And of course I had memes and all of that, but that was fun kind of learning how to interact with those people. Cause that's part of this, right? Like you see people like losing their, you know what? And so it's like, well, how do we engage with these folks? So, that was a lot of fun, and a plug for all of us, at Camp Disclosure. You can go to just campdisclosure.com, and, it's $44 for all 4 days of the speakers and workshops. So, unbelievable value there. So, three broad ideas are kind of what I tell folks. The first is community, that right now in our spiritual hubs or our truther hubs, or if you're into Q or whatever else is kind of going on, being able to dial in with other people and connect is so crucial. So we are wired to connect anyway as human beings.
Yeah.
But, you know, during this time of such chaos, knowing that you're not alone, being able to feel validated or heard as well as like supported, you know, is not something that should be undervalued. So community, whatever that means to you, you know, maybe that means you meet up with people in person. Maybe that means, you know, if you live alone, like I've got my little kitty here, Stella. So she came on my lap.
Nice.
So, you know, that's a form of community and connection. Maybe that means online through who knows what, Facebook groups or whatever. But community is so essential, especially right now and as we kind of head into the election. So that's idea number one, broadly speaking. Number two is going to be no surprise to anyone who knows me, and that's going to be memes. And I love memes because for me, making memes is a creative outlet. And so I feel like I'm able to kind of give voice to just the chaos, the double standards, all the sort of, you know, things that are going on in the world today, especially this year. But they also provide a sense of like validation too, you know, like when we're scrolling through a newsfeed and we find that meme and we're like, oh my gosh, like this just hits the nail on the head with what's going on. Mm-hmm. So, and of course they provide laughter and there's just a lot of benefit that comes from memes. We can also express information in a very short amount of time, and that's why they're so powerful and why, you know, people who make memes are so censored. So that's the second one. And then the third one I'd say here is kind of more spiritual based, but like keeping our vibe high, you know, that's so essential, that it's easy to get locked into the muck and the mire or the maya, if you will, of our 3D reality that we're seeing all around us. Because what's happening is all of this turmoil and chaos is leading to this kind of alchemy that's taking place. So there's a transition that's happening and we're moving into a different vibrational state as a planet. And so right now with where we're at, we're in the flux of it all. And so it's easy to get stuck looking into our news screens, or whatever kind of we see that's going on in the world and to feel overwhelmed by it. And so being able to take a step back, and there are kind of specific things that we can talk later about, but being able to take a step back and say, okay, wait a minute, how do I not let water get inside of my boat? You know, so keeping our vibe high can show up in a whole slew of different ways. And my online course, kind of that's the main heart of it all is, well, what does that mean on a practical basis? And that's the beauty of psychology, that you can use these skills to kind of help with like vibration management, if you will. But having an intention to keeping your vibe high becomes imperative. So what I would say, if we're going to give kind of a specific example of that, is there's a skill that comes from a form of therapy called dialectical behavior therapy. That's a mouthful, or DBT. And there are four main components that make up DBT. People can, you know, Google search this. But one of those skill sets is called mindfulness. It's a form of meditation. And within that, a specific skill is called wise mind. And I use this one almost daily in my life. And I share this with clients a lot. And I think that all of us could use a very healthy dose of wise mind with what's going on in the world nowadays. So basically what this skill says is we're wanting to label different states of mind that we have as human beings. And there are three. So if you think back to like seventh grade when we had Venn diagrams, you know, where you have two overlapping circles.
Mm-hmm.
So one of those circles is called emotion mind. And that's what we see playing out everywhere. So the BLM activists who are, you know, now marching in Cincinnati and even here in Portland, I heard yesterday, and going up to people's homes and accusing people of being racist, demanding money, demanding that they give their home away to them. You know, so that's all tearing down statues, you know, downtown, rioting and looting and all those sorts of things, right? Like that's extreme expressions of emotion mind. Of course, we've all heard the acronym TDS, you know. So we see that. And of course, we have kind of now an archetype that we put on a particular type of person that we call Karen, you know, that's, so that's a further expression of emotion mind. But if I had to give a definition to it, it's just simply those moments that we all fall prey to where we aren't really in the driver's seat during these moments, that the emotion is kind of guiding us. It's pulling us by the shirt sleeve. And it's saying, you know, you have to listen to my feeling-based propaganda and do whatever in an impulsive kind of reactive way that the emotion is telling me to do. So if we get into an argument, if we get triggered in some sort of capacity, that's when emotion mind comes online. So if you think about it like scales, like we can get really heavy in emotion mind. So the scales are out of balance. So what does that mean? Well, the other circle is then called reason mind. So reason mind is then where we do what I call the three C's, where we're calm, cool, and collected. So during these moments, it's where we're able to take that step back, take that deep breath and say, okay, wait a minute, let me think this through. How can I apply some rationality to the chaos that's going on in the world around me? And so I think the whole world could use a very healthy dose of reason mind right now. This is where kind of facts and logic and being able to check ourselves really comes into play. This actually taps into one of the skill sets that I think is most powerful in this whole world of applied psychology, and that's called reframing. So being able to move past our autopilot thinking, you know, that we get caught up when we're in zombie mode as we kind of go throughout our daily existence, and being able to take that step back, move out of reaction and move more into what's called responding, which is a world of difference from reaction. So reason mind allows us to kind of move past the impulsive nature of what it means to be kind of a human being and kind of tap into those higher faculties. And so once we have more reason mind, now we're starting to get more into this balanced point of view. And then with the Venn diagram, that middle circle there, this is where the term dialect comes in. It's that middle ground. And so it's those moments that then become more practical for us, because we can't just simply switch it on a dime and say, okay, I'm being really emotional. I just need to apply some logic and that's going to magically make things better. That there's, you know, a transition when we're looking at it from a practical point of view. And so this then is the third state of mind, and this is called wise mind. And when we're in wise mind, we're able to get in touch with our intuition. We're able to kind of slow the speed of thought and the momentum that comes from really intense energy with emotion. We're able to kind of slow that down. And so how we start doing that is by asking questions, getting curious, moving out of this kind of small-minded, reactive point of view, and zooming out to kind of look at the bigger picture. And the more that we're able to do this, now we're getting some traction, some balance. We're able to think things in less of a skewed, emotion-based way with kind of the rose-colored glasses, and able to kind of be more open to what other people might have to say in terms of feedback, with what might be most effective for our next steps, et cetera. So this skill then becomes very practical for two reasons. The first is that now we have terminology that we can label or put on in whatever state of being we are in any given moment. But then the second benefit is it gives us tools specifically in terms of what to do. So, okay, I'm in emotion mind. I'm being called a Karen right now or whatever. Like, what do I need to do to kind of get out of this? Because it's not fun. I don't really feel in control and I'm overwhelmed right now. And so tapping into then this reason mind gets us into this more balanced point of view of like, okay, maybe I need to take a time out. Maybe I need to go for a walk. Maybe I need to meditate or ground or whatever. And this is somewhat of a simple skill, but it's not necessarily easy to practice. But my God, I mean, think, James, if every single grade schooler were taught this skill, how better off we as a world society would be. Mm-hmm. If we had kind of a greater depth of like emotional intelligence.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, Joe, just teaching the basic universal principles, you know, yeah, like universal peace, brother and sisterly love, individual freedom and prosperity for everybody. The basics, I mean, they are so brainwashed right now. You know, I saw this thing the other day and I'll think of his name that was doing it. And he put out this thing and it's this pamphlet put out by The Who is sponsoring it, and, you know, and a lot of others out there. And they're teaching 4- and 5-year-olds how to, you know, sexually play with themselves.
Yeah.
And how to play with each other, and that it's okay to, you know, diddle around with older men or women. It's unbelievable. And you read this thing, and they're trying to get it into the school curriculum. And in California, they're passing laws now that make it okay, you know, to molest a child, basically. And you look at this and then you look at who's behind it, you know, and, you know, I don't want to label this one or that one, but there's a lot of Democrats behind these bills, you know, that are passing these things out. And so, and we're going off subject a little bit, but I'm going back to the child, you know, thing. And I'm seeing right now, this is the height of this social engineering where people are, they're critical thinking and research impaired, and they don't know how to put the brakes on and go, wait a minute. You know, we're talking about a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, and you're pushing these, you know, let them be a 5-year-old, you know, why are you trying to push them in this? And you can see it in all Netflix, everything now, it's all coming out, you know, a lot of the pedophile nonsense and everything. And you're going, okay, at what point do we say, okay, we don't want to go the same direction as Sodom and Gomorrah, you know?
Right.
And because nature does what nature does, and things get too decadent, the consciousness falls to a certain level, and nature has to straighten it out, you know, with a huge quake or a tidal wave or something, you know, asteroid, you know?
Yeah.
So who knows?
Yeah, I mean, the more you do your actual research, right, and really kind of look into this and not take things at face value and be like, what? No, there's no way that could happen. Like, do your homework, research it. Like, there is a giant push from all these different perspectives to normalize pedophilia.
Yeah.
It's just awful. I mean, even in Washington State, right? Like, what I heard
is that
they now added into the sex ed curriculum for third graders learning about anal sex and having, like, role plays in the classroom.
Jeez. Yeah. How's that? I mean, oh God, you know, I'm sure whoever is pushing that agenda is probably filming it at the same time, you know, but, Yeah, it's getting beyond sick, and I think parents are going to have to start waking up and applying base logic to this. You know, like who's trying to make this all okay? You know, what's the driving force behind this? You know, are there a bunch of pedophiles in power that are pushing these agendas? Of course there are. Mm-hmm. You know, and at what point do you draw a line and say no, not my child? You know, I'm not gonna. This isn't going to happen, not on my watch, you know.
I think if there's one blessing in disguise on this with let's say COVID, for example, it's that so many parents are now becoming more involved in children's education with them being homeschooled because of the virus. I mean, and like Tennessee, for example, I don't know if you heard about this, but this was maybe about a month ago or so. I heard that parents are being forced to sign a waiver saying that they will not listen in to what the teacher's instructing and teaching the students. And I'm thinking, why is that? What's going on there that makes this like not okay for parents to listen in, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We're going back to your children are wards of the state. You know, we're going back to that situation. You know, my thing is I said, you know, there's some really good news about COVID, you know, it's like, you know, all the heart attacks stopped, the cancer stopped. Nobody died of heart attacks, strokes, cancers.
Flu.
Plane crashes. You can fall out of a plane and you won't die of the plane crash.
Yeah, motorcycle accidents.
Yeah, motorcycle accidents, everything, drownings, you know, it doesn't matter. Yeah. They all stopped when COVID came, you know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so that's a good thing. And the other really good news we have is that with all these fires, we already have masks.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Everybody has a mask now, you know, and so, hey, you're ready. You're prepared, you know? So anyway, I'm being facetious about this whole thing. I hope people know we're not serious here, you know, but who knows? Yeah. You know, you'll see it. You'll see it in the, somebody will put a thing. You actually love the COVID or, God, I don't know. You hear that. Sometimes, you know, I feel like Trump, you know, where they miss everything, miss your humor, miss everything you're trying to say, twist it, you know, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yeah. But,
you know, again, you can just simply go back to facts. I mean, this is why I introduced like this wise mind skill, that what's happening is when it feels like oil and water sometimes, doesn't it? Like we apply this reason mind to people that are very emotion mind based. And it's like you're dealing with two different frequencies. Like they can't hear us, even though we're using logic and like, for example, like information from CDC's website.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, about let's look at like the death rates and how they're dramatically going down, or hospital rates or whatnot. And they just want to focus on like case rates are going up, you know.
I know. My friend AR, I think you've met AR, but he talks about that. He says, you know, can I just take a 2x4 and hit him over the head? That does get their attention. You know, they'll probably listen after that if they don't react, violently. But anyway, I like the Byron Katie stuff, and I always butcher it. I get it wrong, but I mean, one of the first things that she asks is, "How do you know this is true?"
Yes.
You know, what's your source?
That's right.
You know, and if you're quoting, you know, the main news guys out there, they have got it wrong so many times. They have lied so many times that you can make a long, long list, and people have, of all the lies, and they continue to push these lies and these agendas and, you know, the social engineering program. And at what point do you say, okay, you've lied to me about 10 times here, undeniably, when are you going to start telling the truth, and why should I listen to you? I think that's imperative. Cause that's one of my issues. I really have trouble with liars, you know, because it's an insult to my intelligence, because I'm coming from a different level and, you know, very empathic. And I sense what they're doing. I'm already aware of what they're trying to pull. And I go, you're insulting my intelligence. And I think that's the problem. Is people have not evolved to that level where they have their own BS meter, that they can't just feel something's wrong with what they're saying here. Something's wrong with this picture.
Well, I think part of it is we're not taught to cultivate that. We all have that intrinsically in us, But through this social engineering program and like formal schooling and whatnot, like that's beaten out of us. And just look at how much our society is so skewed on, in a very paradoxical way, on focusing on left brain thinking.
Yeah.
You know, of like, these are the facts. This is what you have to learn. You know, all these like useless facts that you have to remember, like for school, right? Like, well, what was the date of this war, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, well, why don't we teach children about the Federal Reserve System? You know,
yeah,
and like how money is created.
Yeah. Who financed every war since Napoleon? How's
exactly.
That?
Exactly.
Yeah. Right. Both sides, by the way.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. You got it. Yeah. So all that's kind of having us. And, you know, a lot of this started in like the 1930s with like the Frankfurt Institute of incorporating socialism slowly but surely into our indoctrinated programs called school.
Yeah.
And so we have not been taught kind of the truth about our potential, first of all. And this is why I love being able to share these concepts of psychology with people, because they're science-based, first of all, but they're like practical. They're things that you can use like in your everyday life. And this is how you like break out of the matrix, break out of this kind of little box that we're taught to think in. It's so scarcity-based. And I often describe it as like life 1.0, you know, of just kind of living by default, just barely making it by, just coming from this place of like low vibration of fear and anger and lack and dog eat dog world. And there's a whole realm of possibility of what it means to be a human being.
Yeah.
And that we are in this transitionary phase of moving into life 2.0, of being able to live in like, you know, sometimes people call it like 5D reality, where it's like, I don't have to live in this kind of scarcity 3D minimalistic point of view. And that there's so much more color or taste that
feel true, not. Mm-hmm. Not just do you think this is true, does this feel like it's
exactly.
True to you?
Now? I love that.
And if it doesn't feel true, how do I research this? How do I research other opinions, other ideas, other sites, other points of view? You know, how do I research the shirt? You know, and then how do I apply critical thinking to all this stuff? Okay, here's the facts over here. Who gave these facts? Where did these facts come from? You know, we need some tools like that so we can say, well, wait a second. And then I think the first premise that people are going to have to come to terms with is that we've all been socially engineered.
Yep.
You know, to one degree or another, we've all been socially engineered, whether it be by the media, by religion, by, you know, politicians or whatever, we've been socially engineered. Mm-hmm. And how do we get away from that and get into that fresh mind, the Buddha mind, you know, where we can actually see things how they are versus how we're told they are.
Yeah, exactly. And this is where, again, I'm going to bring it back to like the wise mind skill. The more we get out of this emotion-based thinking, which is, and the other real kind of wrinkle to this is that this often shows up in particular subjects. Like I have peers that, you know, also have like a highly advanced degree, master's or doctoral level. You know, I have folks that are, you know, like professional researchers in all these different realms, and yet they can be extremely intelligent. They can ask, you know, just some fantastic critical thinking skills and have a very refined, developed skill set in that capacity toward, let's say, work. But then when you start getting into another realm, like politics, or like, you know, any sort of criticism or pushing back on official narratives about what's going on in the world, you see this like MK Ultra programming come out where it's like the critical thinking skills just completely shut off. And that's from very effective years and decades worth of this social engineering, like you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen that in ufology. You know, at one time in the, you know, in the 50s, you know, everybody was talking about UFOs. There was UFO flaps, you know, people were open to it and everything else. And then we started getting some craft, you know, and we started back engineering the craft and everything else. And all of a sudden it shut down, you know. And in the 50s, we go, yeah, UFOs are in the Bible. Read Ezekiel, you know, read, you know, Elijah, send in a fiery chariot, you know, and they go through all the frescoes. It was all open, you know. And then all of a sudden there was this effort, you know, started about, I'd say, the early 60s. And even Kennedy was going to reveal all this stuff. He was going to reveal all the, that was one of the things that might have got him killed. I don't know, but we have had contact. We have the craft. We have the parts, you know. Mm-hmm. And so basically that started, and it was a long effort to ridicule everybody, make fun of everybody. The churches demonized it. And then pretty soon you got to the point where everybody just giggled at you if you said you saw a UFO. Oh, this guy's nuts, you know. He's working right. with the devil, you know. And that conditioning came to that controlled narrative where people are just, and now they're at the point now where, despite, and we're seeing it, despite all the evidence. And I'm not just trying to make this all about me, but despite all the evidence we have, treetop level stuff, things landing on the mountain, morphing into 3-4, coming out of the mountain, all the research done on it, you know, the night vision, the thermal imaging, the everything proving, you know, these are unknowns. These are not, you know, all the evidence. And what do they show now? They have a fuzzy tic-tac going across the screen. And then they got their main controlled narrative people, you know, or planned opposition going, yeah, look what we've got now. We've got the fuzzy tic-tac, you know, and this is it. This is the smoking gun, you know. Well, you know, we've had a smoking bazooka for 30 years.
Right.
And why are they not, you know, bringing this out? If they were all about disclosure and contact and everything else, why is this so suppressed, you know? And again, you have a controlled narrative. It's extremely controlled, and people have no idea how controlled it is. So if you apply that to mainstream media, how that came into effect, what else did they do? Mm-hmm. You know, what about all the viruses and the flus and everything which are built in labs and are not natural, what, you know, and everything else? How, you know, what about that? You know, nobody's talking about that. Nobody's going, well, where'd this come from? Mm-hmm. You know, who created this? Who owns the patent on it? Who's going to make the most money off this? Yeah. You know, and you know, how come they had test kits back in 2017 and the patents on the test kits and the patents on the virus and the, and they paid, you know, what, $4 million, you know, to Wuhan, you know, lab where this thing seems supposedly got released. You know, nobody's looking at that, taking it back. I'm not saying nobody is. There are some people are, but it's just like, where, again, where's the critical thinking? Where do you say, wait a second, this doesn't feel right. The very people that are in control of this whole mess created the mess, and they're going to make billions of dollars off the mess. Mm-hmm. At one point you start going, wait a second, this doesn't work. And the latest polls I saw, they said 2/3 of the people are not going to take the vaccine. They don't trust it.
Interesting.
So people are waking up. Definitely waking up.
Well, and we also need to kind of be mindful of what exactly is meant technically by the word vaccine.
Yeah.
Because I have heard that hydrochloroquine is technically considered a vaccine. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah. And, you know, you can get the foundation for hydrochloroquine in, you know, it comes from, I think, grapefruit rinds or things like that. You can actually get the foundation before they make it into the pill. Mm-hmm. And it actually works better, you know, and add that and zinc and a few other things, you know, and the other vitamins to your daily regimen. And, you know, bang, you knock this thing right out. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like a laser beam to this COVID. You know, this stuff just, it's amazing. But yeah, and they have other things. They have other remedies that work really well. So, you know, basically, you know, you might as well just take that and put it in the vaccine versus all the other crap they're trying to put in there. You know,
I think, you know, a big part of, and I mentioned this in the workshop, but I think a big part of this, honestly, is fear. That, yeah. You know, when people are, again, engineered to be part of, like, the herd mentality, to fit in, to be part of like groupthink, to mm-hmm. be accepted, that kind of it harkens back to like the whisperings of our DNA, you know, of like yeah. not wanting to be outed of the tribe. And so we want to be kind of like what I was mentioning earlier about community. Like we want to feel as though we're a part of something as humans. And so when you have literally like the word is used for media, like mainstream, that's yeah. what's accepted. That's what's normalized. That's just what's known to be true or what is. And so when people start to question that, it leads to a sense of discomfort. And I'm sure at this point, we've all heard the phrase cognitive dissonance.
Yeah.
But it leads to the sense of discomfort because now what I've been told ever since I can remember that mainstream is mainstream because it's been accepted and, presumed to be factual, that now when I'm starting to question things, and a great one to do this is like double standards. So yeah. I can socially protest with 100 plus people and not be having to socially distance or wear masks. But yet at the same time, I can't connect with friends or loved ones with greater than what, 10 people at yeah. a time? Like, how does that make sense? You know, or another great example was when I was flying home from North Carolina. I don't know what your flight experience was like, but with mine, I had an entirely full plane.
Yeah. And
I thought, how wonderful is this? Uh-huh. For another expression of the double standards that yeah. we're proselytized everywhere about 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet, 6 feet, right? Socially distanced. And yet on a plane, I'm what? 6 inches, if that, from everyone around me.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
these sorts of questions are forcing, literally forcing people to wake up, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it leads to a lot of discomfort. Because people are now having to lift their head up. It's like the great awakening, that phrase that's being used, that one of the first signs of awakening is going to be confusion and anger. Just like when we're stirring from our sleep and we're kind of grumpy, that's what's happening to the collective of humanity right now.
Yeah.
And so people are waking up by the thousands, by the millions, and being able to say, this isn't jiving with me anymore. And that's why community is so important, to know that you're not alone, to foster this encouragement of questioning, and to know that from a larger point of view, that this is going to continue right up to the election.
Yeah, I like that duplicity where if you don't wear a mask, they can arrest you or they'll take your business license and everything else away. But you can riot and burn down houses and homes and attack cops and everything else, and you won't be arrested. And if you do get arrested, you get cut loose and multiple times and you're right back on the streets doing it again. So how does that work? I'm trying to, one party is extremely encouraging this to continue mm-hmm. under the guise of demonstration. But, you know, it says in the Constitution, peaceful demonstration, peaceful.
That's right.
On peaceful. It doesn't say you can riot and burn down businesses and homes and even destroy your own neighborhood. You know, what happens when you get through with everything and then you go, okay, you get up in the morning, you go, well, I think I'll go have breakfast. Oh, wait a second. The diner, we burned that down last night.
Yeah.
I'll go to 7-Eleven and just grab a donut or something, which is probably the worst thing you can do and probably why you're so looped out anyway. Mm-hmm. And then you go, oh, well, no, we burned that one down too, you know? I need a glass of water. The water's shut off, you know. It's
like, yeah. And you have these big chain stores that are open, but the mom and pop stores aren't.
Yeah.
Or, you know, going back to like the jail reference, to add kind of another dimension to that, it's like, so these people are being arrested and being sent to jail. And yet what's happening with all these inmates and how they're being released? You know, I mean, like, for example, the what is it? The Green Mile Killer, I think.
Yeah.
Right, in Washington State. So he was almost freed, except for one vote, when they were doing their review of whether or not he should be released. So you see in California, you see in Washington, Oregon, like all over the country, all these inmates are being released supposedly because of COVID, And to me, this, when this was playing out, like earlier on during the pandemic, or plandemic as some call it, that it harkened back to like some sort of movie script out of like a Batman movie, where like all the Arkham Asylum inmates are like being released. You know,
that's exactly what I thought. This is like a Batman movie. I know people in there that have been protesting, you know, the enslavement on this planet and the status quo and things like that. And they're harmless people. They've been doing it legally and informing people, and they're in jail, and, you know, they're elderly and they're not in good health or anything else. And they're keeping them in there, and they pose no harm or no threat to anybody. They are keeping them in there, and they're letting out, you know, people that are violent instead.
And there's logic in that.
Total duplicity there. And so anybody that's pointing a finger saying the emperor has no clothes, you're going to be in there forever. They aren't going to let you out. But if you go and kill and rape and do a few other things, oh yeah, you're out, you know?
Yeah.
You got the ticket out. So yeah, this duplicity is just beyond insane. I look at it and I go, what has happened? You know, what has happened to base common sense and any critical thinking? It's gone out the door, you know?
That's right. That's right.
There's
a video that I want to point people to. You might have heard of this gal's name. Her name is Lori Ladd, L-A-D-D. And she released a video recently. She's a great person to subscribe to, but it was just simply called How to Stay in the Higher Timeline. And she's based in Northern California. And her video is kind of talking about the sky that you could see kind of behind her, and how it was, you know, cloudy like it is for us and whatnot. And just moving past what we see with these eyes, and how scary it can be, whether that's, you know, looking at these protesters slash rioters, looking at the these potential fires that might come close to us, or however it's kind of showing up with fear. And how we stay in this higher timeline is through just seeing the illusion for what it is, and being able to make sure that we continue to ground. And this is a call to action for us to do our inner spiritual work. That's really the most important thing that all of us can do right now, is to stay rooted in some sort of regular, ideally daily practice for us to move past the lower states of what it means to be human, you know, with
These photographs, and I've seen this before in the fires, and I don't know what and these aren't Photoshop, where these demon heads appear in the fire itself, and these are going around everywhere. And I have a bunch of those photos too that are untouched, you know, where volcanoes are going off, and you see a female, undeniable female face in there and things like that. But it's like amazing, the photographs I've seen, and hopefully we can get Robert to pop those in the background maybe during the show. But there's a few really good photos in there people need to see. And I always tell people there's multiple dimensions playing out here. You know, it's not just what you're seeing in the physical is a byproduct of multiple dimensions at play. And if it's nasty and it's terrifying and it's keeping humanity down, you know, there's levels to that. And, you know, it goes from just people that are easily manipulated, you know, to the manipulators, you know, the global elite, to the demonic realms and reptilians and things above that operating them. And it goes on and on and on. But the good news is you also have the other levels, the higher levels of, you have the off-world spiritually and technologically advanced beings coming in. You have multiple dimensions there. You know, people call them the angelic or ascended master realms. You have the source itself and all that going on too. So both sides are at play right now. And we have to just get on the right side of the fence, you know, like the Cherokee saying, you know, where the wolves are fighting, the dark wolf and the white wolf. And the kid asked grandfather, which wolf's going to win? He said, the one you feed, you know? So right. If you feed into the negative and stay in fear and let them socially engineer you and manipulate you, then you're going to take that path, you know? And if you break out of it and move your consciousness up and see the bigger picture and connect with the higher dimensions, and that's where you're going to go. And that's the reality you're going to experience.
Yep. This is why, like I've been saying, the spiritual work is so important right now. It's imperative, because this is how we transition to the different timelines. that we stay in the more kind of 5D trajectory timeline when we do our work. That's what's being called for humanity right now. So with this awakening process, you know, for, I'd argue everyone who's watching this, like, there's a reason why you're watching this podcast right now. There are no coincidences. This isn't by accident that you're listening to our words right now.
I think to the elders, it's like right now is so important to probably get with the elders of almost every nation. Mm-hmm. You know, go on YouTube and find there's a beautiful Cherokee rain song. There's others, you know, there's ceremonies you could be doing to call on the rains. There's a lot of things. We don't have to be victims in here. You can do Yigong and connect with the water and the wind and pull that in. You know, there's people need to get proactive with this stuff and really start working with nature and say, hey, we need some help, you know, and start talking to the Thunder Beings and a few others out there and say, whatever you want to call them, the angel of rain, you know, or whatever, start working. The Aboriginal people have a lot of amazing techniques too as well. And that's what happened in Australia. When we're in Australia, we're all working together to bring the rains in. And we had deluges everywhere we went. It was like a monsoon. We couldn't even drive. It was coming down so hard.
Wow.
And it was amazing. You know, and we were working with the King of the Raven tribe and a few others people and you know, calling this in, and it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Greg Braden has talked about this as well. I want to say it was in Isaiah Effect, if I'm remembering correctly.
Don't
remember.
Yeah, I think so.
But he talked about kind of the rain dances and talking to like the natives of like what exactly is the process of what you do. And essentially it's like visualization, or as Ariel Ford says, feelingization. So you're kind of getting into the stance that like it's already happened. You know, the rain is already here. I can feel it on my body. I can notice the raindrops, et cetera. And the more that you can do that, then you're calling in that consciousness, you know, that vibration. And then this is where I'd like to see kind of with community, for us to have kind of more regular get-togethers, whether that's at ESETI or with conferences like Camp Disclosure or whatever, like have us use our collective consciousness that we have as a dialed in community or a tribe, that there's technology there. There's potential for us to use this pooled, focused energy of thought for good. And that's what we're seeing now. I mean, when we have like the Q movement, for example, like when Q will post something, you have literally millions of people with eyes on that.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they're saying is like when the media posts some sort of article or something that's kind of come out, that it's debunked, not in months or years or even weeks, but we're talking days, hours, sometimes even minutes.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful thing.
Great. I hate to end on this. I know we're running out of time, but what's the best way that people can get in touch with you and get in touch with your services, which are awesome?
Well, it's changing since I'm not on Facebook anymore. folks can go to my website. It's just dralexbloom.com. I'm trying to be more active on Instagram, just with my name. And I'm really trying to push my YouTube channel, because I want to get back in and start recording more videos. I'm going to be leading a tour to Egypt this next spring, and there's still space available. But I'd like to get my viewer count or my sub count up enough so that I can do lives from my phone, because I want to do live video when we're in Egypt. So people can email me. It's just my last name, Bloom, and then the word doctor at gmail.com. So I'm in a transitionary period right now. I'm trying to find, establish a new home for a platform. So.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm surprised I'm still up. They're just looping me. They're shadow banning the hell out of me, and they're looping. I look in there, I go, wow, these same posts have been going over and over. And I started scrolling back, and I'm going, I'm on a loop. They're looping about 10 posts to make it look like people are posting on there.
Right?
And see, I never go into Facebook. Other people go in there and to do, you know, we use it more for a platform of just getting things out. And so I apologize for that. And also too, my emails are so bad. They are so monitored and screwed up and everything else. I'm just totally dumping that side and getting a whole new email system because that's gotten so bad. You know, and people go, why haven't you gotten back to me? And I go, because I never saw it, you know.
Yeah.
I can't even get into my email anymore. Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's crazy. So we're doing a lot of changes here, but you know, I apologize to anybody that feels, you know, that you know, we haven't gotten back to you because we're doing the best. And also too, we went through a huge transition here. So we have all new staff, all of our lines are down for a little while and we're getting everything back up and running with new lines and better systems and everything. So it's been rough, you know, with this, you know, all these transitions going on. But anyway, it's going to be up bigger and better. And I'm sure you're going to do the same thing with your systems, you know, when you get them all back up again.
Yep. Transitions. And once the transition is over, watch out. Let me mention one more thing before I forget. So Corey Good is having another online course that will be or conference that will be coming here shortly. And so folks can go to 2020visionconference.com. So I'm going to be a part of that and talking about kind of my upcoming courses and kind of what's going on there. Dr. Michael Sala will be a part of that as well. Kate, the Awakening.
I think I'm in there too, actually.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I think you're in there as well.
I do it. And I said, sure, I'll do a course, you know.
Yeah.
Get it out there, you know, but yeah, there's so many things going on. And I always tell people, just avoid the dramas. Come on, guys. Let's just keep all the drama out of our YouTube channels and everything else and focus on the big picture.
Because
there's so much drama out there. And I know some good friends that are succumbing to the dramas and getting involved in all this stuff. And we need to just get out of there. You know, I'm seeing crazy stuff too. I mean, it's hilarious. The last one was this guy accused me of being a Satanist, I guess, and a pedophile. What was it? It's like 10 different things and all the people that have gone missing here and that have died here. And I'm not addressing that. And I go, nobody's gone missing here. Nobody's died here. None of this. So I go and I look the guy up and he just got back from a satanic blood ritual. And he's bragging about it on Facebook. So,
oh dear.
So, I mean, so you hear this crap and people go, oh yeah, we thought so. And they start, now I'm getting all this hate mail coming at me. And I go, did you see who posted that? Did you click on the guy's name? And he's some reptilian band. Mm-hmm. It's called Reptilian Rising or some weird band. And I go, are you serious? I said, look at your source. Go to your source and look at your source and see, because the pot's calling the kettle black big time right now. Mm-hmm. And there's so much drama going on and we need to get away from that. You know, it's just not worth it. And let's get back to content, you know, and truth and getting the good stuff out, you know, the stuff that, the big fish, you know, right now.
And distractions are everywhere, you know. So we need to refocus our energy. And I feel more hopeful now than ever before about our future. I mean, we are this close to having an entirely new paradigm being ushered in to the planet. So we just need to hold true to that and anchor into that.
Yeah, don't give up hope and despair, because this is just part of the chaos, is part of the cleansing, you know. Fire has a way of cleansing things, you know, and who knows what's being burned up in those fires. But, I don't want to downplay, you know, people are losing their homes and there are people that have died and things like that. But, it's sad, you know, and we need to pray for them and send them, you know, loving, joyous thoughts and help your neighbors out. But other than that, I think we are right on the precipice of something awesome. But I was just informed we're out of time, so we got to close this thing out. So again, Alex, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show, and I'm sure we'll be in touch with real soon. And once we launch these other platforms, I'm sure you're going to be a part of it, and you're going to be busier than you ever thought you wanted to be, probably.
Sounds good.
All right. Good night, everybody. James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio and also East Eddie Stargate. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and that will get you through. Good night.